Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach describes the deferral of the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine here as an unwelcome pause, but says the government must take heed of advice and adopt a cautious approach. We'll hear from a local GP about the frustration and disappointment over a delay in the supply of the Pfizer vaccine to their practice. There are calls for the government to tell publicans what percentage of the population needs to be vaccinated in order for pubs to reopen. Three quarters of Irish businesses plan to adopt a blend of remote and on-site working following the pandemic, and there are calls for summer schools to be established to make up for time lost in education this year. We'll hear from a local teacher. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. The Taoiseach has described the deferral of the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine here as an unwelcome pause, but Micheál Martin says it's important to take advice and adopt a cautious approach. Meanwhile, Italy, Germany and France are the latest countries to temporarily suspend the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine. It's over concerns about a small number of blood clots in patients who have received the jab. Well, some professionals are claiming that the science is being ignored and health officials aren't trusting the science. AstraZeneca say there's no evidence of cases linked to the vaccine, while immunologist Dr. Luke O'Neill says the suspension is disappointing and disturbing. Well, speaking to CNBC, Micheál Martin said when AstraZeneca does get the green light for use again, it will be administered quickly.
We hope this is temporary. We anticipate that it will be temporary and that we can catch up fairly quickly in terms of the pause of the administration of the AstraZeneca vaccines. Bear in mind, of course, that we are continuing to administer to our over 70 population the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines and the Moderna vaccine.
Up to 30,000 people, however, will not receive vaccines this week as a result of the AstraZeneca suspension. A local GP, meanwhile, is expressing frustration and disappointment over a delay in the supply of vaccine to their practice. Ark Medical Centre in Letterkenny was given less than 24 hours' notice that they would not be receiving the number of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine doses they were hoping for. Doctors and staff had expected to be giving 75 to 80-year-olds their first dose today, but that's not now going ahead. On today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Finian Bannon expressed their frustration.
The way our deliveries are working is that we're getting vaccine on a two-weekly basis again to do the second dose for some people and the first dose for others. I presume it will be 2 weeks before we know where we are again with our supply. Of course, it's frustrating, I think, when we have so many people booked and people obviously this is something people want done as soon as possible. I mean, I think the communication, maybe hasn't been as good as we would like it to be. Again, we recognise that this is, you know, an issue not just for us as a country, but for many countries around the world, not just for us as a practice, but for many practices around the country. So, it is frustrating. The communication could have been better. Again, we're finding this out just a day before we plan to give these vaccines. So, we didn't really know where we were with numbers of vaccine we would have at all until this morning. So, look, we're trying our best to plan for a smooth rollout, but we recognise that, look, that isn't always going to be the case. But, of course, look, in an ideal world, everything would go nice and smoothly. We'd get the vaccine as we need and give it to the patients as we have them booked. But unfortunately, this week, that hasn't been the case. Mm. And, look, we share the patients' frustrations as well. I mean, this is something we want to be doing. This is something that everybody wants to have moving along nicely, but that just hasn't been the case this week, unfortunately.
Dr. Finian Bannon there. The Vice President of the Garda Representative Association says Gardaí are growing increasingly concerned over some people potentially socialising on St Patrick's Day. It follows a weekend incident in the Milford area. Two men have been charged and a teenager arrested after three Gardaí were allegedly assaulted in Milford on Saturday afternoon. Two were hospitalised and one treated at the scene for injuries sustained. They were responding to reports of a potential breach of COVID-19 regulations. The Vice President of the GRA, Donegal-based Garda Brendan O'Connor says the incident proves how dangerous the job can be for Gardaí.
We don't know what dynamic it will take. I mean, maybe people will be responsible and adhere to the guidelines, but there is concern amongst our members that we will be probably dealing with people gathering in private dwellings, and we saw at the weekend how challenging and how dangerous that can be. So the face of policing is changing as a result of the pandemic. Nobody can control that, but our emphasis is on having enough members on duty that when that enough people are sent to deal with incidents so that people won't be injured or will be protected, so we won't see repeats of what happened on Saturday.
The government is being urged to tell publicans what percentage of the population would need to be vaccinated in order for pubs to reopen. It's a year to the day when pubs closed as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Pictures from bars pre-COVID have been posted on social media today as part of the Not Disposable campaign. Donal O'Keefe from the Licensed Vintners Association says the lack of certainty or hope is despairing.
We're looking for the government to provide us with some more clarity on the scenarios that will apply to allow us to reopen. And by that we mean what percentage of the population will have to be vaccinated to allow pubs to open again. So we don't expect the government to give us a very precise date.
Well, 3/4 of Irish businesses are planning to adopt a blend of remote and on-site working following the pandemic. New research by CIPD Ireland has found the majority of employers believe productivity has not been impaired by remote working. Liberty Insurance has announced it's embracing a new primarily remote working model going forward. Communications manager Roseanne Regan says it's what staff want.
We've surveyed our employees and asked, when this is all over, do you want to return to the pre-pandemic way of working? And 93% of our employees said they didn't. They didn't want to return to that old way of working. That's 9 in 10 employees.
121 people were tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland. According to the latest figures, that's the lowest daily total in almost 6 months. One additional COVID-related death reported there today. There are calls for summer schools to be established to make up for lost time this year. There's concerns over the impact the current lockdown is having on children, and it's thought that schooling over the summer months might be of benefit. Such summer schools would be subsidised by the government so as to leave parents not out of pocket. Local secondary school teacher Joe Kelly says while pupils have worked hard through the homeschooling model, he believes more can be done to help them transition back into normal classroom time.
Younger children, and particularly those transitioning from national school into secondary school, and schools do have summer schools, but when it's safe and the structures and protocols are there, should we be having this discussion and should we should be planning for it if we are now, not when the summer comes? Because the lockdown, I mean, when things ease up, we need to address how we are going to deal with, particularly with children, and what impacts this having on them. Because, you know, in my room, in my own classroom, I have one poster up for myself at the back of my room. The future of the world is sitting before me today. And the future of the world is our children. And we need to have a serious discussion. What impact is this lockdown having on kids? We can talk about education and the value of education, but there's more to it than just education. You know, Aristotle, the great philosopher, said, education of the mind without education of the heart is not education at all. And I would be concerned for how our children are. They have worked hard on homeschooling with Zoom and one thing and another. Is there something we could be doing as a society to bring a bit more joy, more laughter in a regulated, controlled environment?
And that was secondary school teacher Joe Kelly there speaking on the 9 till noon show. Other news this evening, and the mayor of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District says the decision of CETA to increase its workforce in Letterkenny is recognition of the quality of IT graduates coming from facilities in the Northwest. The company has increased its workforce fivefold since opening in 2003. This latest investment reflects the success it's having working in the airport sector. Mayor Donal Coyle says it's a timely boost for the town and the region.
It's a great vote of confidence and the existing workforce in CETA, a great vote of confidence in Letterkenny and the North West, and it's a great boost for the local economy. And it just goes to show the quality of graduates that we have coming from the LYIT and the Ulster University in Derry, that that a company, an international company like CETA, are prepared to invest in Letterkenny.
And that's a view echoed by Minister Charlie McConlogue, who says the IDA now has a very good base to work from in Letterkenny and Donegal.
Shows the potential for Letterkenny to actually be a really successful base for employment. There is a very strong base of IDA-based employment and companies across the town, and it's really good and heartening now to see that continue to grow with the announcement by CETA today of an additional 55 jobs.
And of course, we do know that this really positive news comes against the backdrop of the COVID-19 pandemic, but we do know there's light at the end of the tunnel. And this announcement this morning proves that even more.
It certainly does. And listen, for a town like Letterkenny, which is a regional centre and the capital of our county, it's critical that it is an employment centre and we can attract new employment to it. It's really important that we have a really strong infrastructure in the town, which we want to develop in the time ahead, but also very strong backup in terms of the support through third level education with Letterkenny IT, for example, as well, which has been really important to the growth of businesses in the town.
And that was Minister Charlie McConnell speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. The Bloody Sunday March Committee says there's no question of its campaign for truth and justice ending as a result of the trial of Soldier F. They say while it's to be welcomed that a member of the Parachute Regiment is going on trial for the Bloody Sunday murders, it's not enough and doesn't do justice to the truth. With more, here's Trish Laverty.
In a statement, Kate Nash of the Bloody Sunday March Committee says it appears the British state hopes that the charge against Soldier F will be the end of it, that the campaigning will end. If that's the case, she said, they have another thing coming. Miss Nash says the murders on Bloody Sunday didn't result from a breakdown of discipline on the part of the paras, but were planned and ordered at the highest levels. She adds, while Soldier F deserves to be on trial, he's being thrown to the wolves and the rest of the pack is being allowed to slink away. Miss Nash concludes, a fraction of the truth is unacceptable and the Bloody Sunday campaign will continue for as long as it takes.
And you can read that full statement from Kate Nash on behalf of the Bloody Sunday March Committee on our website, highlandradio.com. Donegal communities and businesses are set to benefit from an increased allocation of €70 million through the Leader Programme for the period 2021 and 2022. Following EU support, an extra €50 million was being added to the initial funding of €20 million. The money will be invested directly into rural areas to help recover from the impact of COVID-19. In the coming weeks, a breakdown will be revealed on the increased allocations to each group that delivers the programme. Councillor Martin McDermott says it's vital that Donegal gets its fair share, but he says there are stumbling blocks for groups to come up with their own percentage of the money required.
We have a number of other projects sitting there that we don't have funding for. So we are, out front from a lot of other counties where they have been struggling to spend their leader allocations. But thankfully here in Donegal, through the partnerships that we have here with National Development Partnership, DLDC, Udris and Cornanillan, that we have our allocation spent, and so we are in a position to spend it, and we'll be very, very hopeful that we will get a good proportion of that money.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with rugby. Gary Ringrose and James Ryan have been ruled out of Saturday's Six Nations meeting with England. Ryan sustained a second head injury of the competition in yesterday's narrow win away to Scotland, while Ringrose sustained an ankle injury that requires assessment by both the Ireland and Leinster medical teams. Peter O'Mahony could return for the game at the Aviva, having served his suspension for the red card he received against Wales. It is, of course, a huge game for the Irish. Johnny Sexton says that they'll need to be at their best if they are to take victory against one of the top sides in the Six Nations this coming weekend.
We feel that we were a little bit unlucky in the first couple of games, but we're playing against, you know, even though they've had a couple of bad results, you know, the team that was in a World Cup final, the team that won the Grand Slam last year, or Six Nations last year, team won the Autumn Nations Cup, so they're a top, top team. And we've to prove that we can match them and put in a performance to beat one of the top teams, because we haven't done it as of yet.
In soccer, Liverpool can move into the Premier League's top six with a win away to Wolves this evening. Jurgen Klopp will assess the fitness of Roberto Firmino, who's missed the last two games with a knee injury. Meanwhile, Diego Jota comes up against his former club. The versatile forward recently returned after being out for almost 3 months with a knee problem. Klopp says Jota's returning to fitness nicely.
Had to play the first game immediately, 90 minutes, which was definitely not planned, just happened in the game because of other things we had to do. And that was then the reason why he played only 60 in the second game, but he was fine. So it's really important that we have him back for plenty of reasons.
Well, Wolves manager Nuno Espirito Santo says his team won't underestimate Liverpool tonight. The Pool, of course, have lost six of their last seven top five matches, but Nuno insists their opponent's recent form doesn't tell the whole story.
Everyone in life has ups and downs. It's how you react from it, how you go through that. I consider this important, and Liverpool, huge admiration.
Brendan Rodgers hopes his former club Celtic give new Scottish Premiership champions Rangers a guard of honour before their Old Firm game this weekend. Should that match go ahead? We'll come to that in a second. The two rivals are scheduled to clash in their first league game since Stephen Gerrard's team lifted the title. The ex-Celtic boss says he'd be bitterly disappointed if they didn't follow the tradition.
My feeling is always is that you should always show humility and class and be a sporting team. So it's something that for me, despite the rivalry, despite how difficult it is, it's something that you should do and then use it as a motivation going forward.
Well, Scotland's First Minister says the government still need to be convinced that Saturday's match between Rangers and Celtic can still go ahead. Well, of course, both clubs are, of course, urging fans to stay at home on Sunday. Rangers have been criticised after supporters broke coronavirus rules to celebrate winning the Premiership title over a week ago. Nicola Sturgeon says the statements from both clubs ahead of the game are welcome, but more work needs to be done.
I never want to be in a position of standing here saying football matches can't go ahead or any of the other things that we really enjoy in life can't go ahead. But that's the reality while we're still in this position. And big gatherings, we know, presents a risk of transmission.
Altiora has been ruled out of Wednesday's Queen Mother Champion Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. Trainer Nicky Henderson revealed that the 11-year-old returned an unsatisfactory scope after he coughed following exercise this morning. The action, of course, gets underway tomorrow. The course is said to be described as soft, going to soft in places following unexpected rain overnight. It's going to be a strange festival with no crowds, of course. Dennis Kerwin now takes a look ahead to tomorrow's opening day's action.
The 2021 Cheltenham Festival kicks off tomorrow with an unusually small field of just eight runners for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Willie Mullins has the even money favourite with Appreciated as he bids to win the festival's opener for a seventh time. The Arkle Chase looks to be Shishkin's bar of fall, while the feature race on day one, the Champion Hurdle, sees two mares at the head of the market. Defending champion Epitant, who could give trainer Nicky Henderson a ninth Champion Hurdle success, and Honeysuckle, trained by Henry de Bromhead and ridden by Rachel Blackmore. She could make history by becoming the first lady rider ever to win this prestigious race. And Honeysuckle is a horse that Rachel has already partnered to six Grade 1 victories.
She seems to produce the goods every day, so yeah, I can never fault her. She definitely captured my imagination anyway. She's been fantastic to me, and hopefully now we can just keep it going.
The action gets underway tomorrow at 1:20. Reporting on Cheltenham for Highland Radio Sport, with Paddy Power, don't feel like a punter, feel like a favourite. I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Well, St. Patrick's Week obviously means a big week for sport. As you heard Dennis reporting there, Cheltenham starts tomorrow, runs through until Friday. We've got Ireland versus England in the rugby on Saturday. And this weekend also sees the start of the new League of Ireland Premier Division season. Van Harps kick off on Saturday at home to Bohemians. So what is the target for the campaign with the Ballybuffet outfit? Here's Harps boss Ollie Horgan.
We don't set targets, we don't go and say, right, this is what we expect and we shortfall. You know, we fall short of it, and then, you know, we don't particularly get carried away if we win a game, as I said to you before. We don't get too downhearted. You know, if we lose, we move on. But certainly 2 years ago it took us 13 games to win a game. When we eventually bet GCD after 13, it could even have been the 14th game, Jeremy. We had some very good draws along the way in games we should have won, where the likes of Sligo equalised and Shorgans in the last minute. But if we do that, we're in big trouble. And we certainly have to get points on the board in the first quarter of the season, to put it that way to you.
So can Harps get their first points on the board on Saturday night against Bohemians? You can, of course, follow all the action here live on Highland as from the 6 o'clock kickoff time. Finally, in news of boxing, the most anticipated fight in the sport is on, as contracts have been signed for Anthony Joshua to take on Tyson Fury in a unification heavyweight title bout. Promoter Eddie Hearn has confirmed an agreement is in place for the All-British World Heavyweight Unification Contest, but a date and venue still has to be finalised. That's it, Donal. We'll have more sport here tomorrow morning after the 30 news.
Thank you, Washing. The European Union is starting legal action against the UK. It's over how the Brexit deal is being implemented. Last week, the UK, without consulting Brussels, pushed back the date that full checks on things like supermarket supplies and parcel deliveries need to be brought in for Northern Ireland. Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney says the approach of the UK government has given the EU no alternative but to take action. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is defending his approach.
It should guarantee not just trade and movement north-south, but east-west as well. And that's all we're trying to sort out with some temporary and technical measures, which we think are very sensible.
The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council is urging the EPA to restore the blue flag to Lisfannan Beach in South Inishowen. The blue flag is awarded to a particular beach for high water quality, and while the beach boasted the accolade in years previously, it lost its status in 2017 because it didn't meet EPA standards. The blue flag puts a beach at a big advantage with tourism, and Councillor Rina Donoghue, he says that Lisfannan only lost out marginally on the last occasion. She says at this time leniency should be shown.
This will be the fourth summer now not to have it, and you know, Greg, the advantages of the blue flag status are many and varied, from the environmental protection side of things to the educational and sustainable development, and then you have financial rewards of the visitors that it brings with this trusted symbol. And we, at the minute, have the most blue flag beaches in the whole of the country, and it's a great selling point. It really is, because many visitors, before deciding their destination, research for blue flag areas. And Lisfannan is a very popular beach and was without the blue flag anyway, but it's so important to have the blue flag. But you're right, we lost it back in 2017, and at that time it was only marginally outside the excellent standard.
And finally, Donegal County Council is being urged to ensure that greenway projects which are shovel-ready are progressed. At a meeting of the Council's Economic Development Committee, Councillor Mary Trace Gallagher said more needs to be done when progressing such projects. A new unit is being established within the Council to get projects processed, including the Burton Port to Letterkenny Greenway, which has been on the agenda for over 15 years. Councillor Gallagher says it's good news the unit is there, but now the plans must be progressed.
We have some welcome news during the budget process of last year. We fought as a council to ensure that greenway projects would be progressed. There's a new unit and the process now has been set up within the council. I'm just waiting for that unit to, I suppose, get their feet on the ground to get the projects that all the different greenways across the county that have been proposed. I suppose here locally, Emma, with the Burton Port Letterkenny Greenway has been on the agenda for 15 to 20 years, and you know, we still have no further forward really with it, even though all the communities across the west of the county have done so much work. So I suppose it's good news that this unit has been set up. What we need to see now is, you know, plans progressed. And
the forecast, and we'll see cloud this evening with some outbreaks of patchy light rain or drizzle, winds light to moderate westerly in direction, a band of rain then spreading from the northwest overnight, clearing by early morning, lowest overnight temperatures 6 to 8 degrees Celsius, light to moderate northwest breezes, those winds becoming strong and gusty for a time, particularly in northwest coastal areas. That'll happen toward dawn in particular. Any lingering rain or drizzle will clear quickly early tomorrow morning, leaving a dry sunny day with variable cloud, highest temperatures hitting 11 to 13 degrees Celsius tomorrow in light northwest breezes. And that's Highland Radio News. Main stories in brief, and the Taoiseach is describing the deferral of the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine here as an unwelcome pause, but he says it's important that we take heed of advice and adopt a cautious approach. Italy, Germany and France are the latest countries to temporarily suspend the use of AstraZeneca as a result of some blood clotting in Norway. However, AstraZeneca themselves deny that their product is responsible for the blood clots, and some opponents have accused the government of not trusting the science. There are calls for the government to tell publicans what percentage of the population would need to be vaccinated in order for pubs to reopen. And also there are calls for a summer school system to be set up for school students to allow them catch up. We're back with news again at 6. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday, the 15th of March. The death has taken place of Jim Deary, Ballybrack, 28, Derry Road, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Jim's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on Wednesday at 10 o'clock at churchservices.tv/lechpatrick. The death has taken place of Patrick McGee, Drung Lore, Quigley's Point. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop Letterkenny, tomorrow at 12 noon, going to his home. Patrick's funeral mass will take place on Wednesday afternoon at 1 in St. Columbus Church, Drung, Quigley's Point, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. A funeral mass can be viewed live on stcolumbusdrung.net. The death has taken place of Paddy Tourish, Moni Hoghley, Manor Cunningham. Funeral cortege leaving his late residence on St Patrick's Day, Wednesday at 11:15, travelling via the Orchard football pitch through Manor Cunningham Village and down the Nows to St Columbus Church Cemetery, Dromahol, for interment. Requiem Mass for Paddy will be arranged at a later date. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to a lone Donegal branch, care of any family member. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines and at the family's request, house and cemetery are strictly private to immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Mary Gately, Carolina, Buncrana. Her remains will repose at McLaughlin's funeral home, with removal from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Requiem Mass can be viewed live at churchservices.tv/Cockhill. Rosary and prayers for the dead will be streamed from St Mary's Church, Cockhill, on tomorrow, Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock, again on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. The death has taken place of Bridget McBride, Knocknafoher, Dunfanaghy, aged 102 years. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired, to the Alzheimer's Association, care of any family member, or James Harkin, Funeral Director, Creasla. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Michael's Church, Creasla. And the death has taken place of Janet McCallion, Carndoe, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow, Tuesday, at 10:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchmedia.tv/camera/parishofcarndonagh, Donegal. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.